Me saying that.
Hold on, let the intro play. Alright, well, we're live on the Touchdowns and Tangents show, episode number
50.
That's right, we made it here. I don't know if you could say we made it. We kind of just got by. But
We did better than get by.
We're here. And as the applause ends, so KB, tell people where they're at, what they're listening to, where they could be listening to.
All right. So this is Touchdowns and Tangents, a podcast started by myself, Kenneth Frank James Berry, and Pete D. Camarillo about 2 years ago.
Yes.
2016? Or was it end of 2015?
I don't know.
I feel like it was around end of 2015.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was definitely...
Because you gotta... When you think back...
It was like middle of 2016. It was somewhere in...
Because for those of you who actually might have listened to the show before...
And if you have, we love you.
This is actually about the fourth or fifth form of...
Reincarnation.
The Pete and Kenneth Partnership Podcast Series.
I'm glad you called it a partnership. It's like... Okay, so this all started when I transferred to CSUN from El Camino Junior College in 2014, August 2014.
They pretty much... You know, just still our format at every major publisher and, you know, just throw a moderator in there. But editor, we're the originators.
Pretty much.
No, just kidding. That's PTI.
Whatever. The first. You know who started the sports debate? The Black Barbershop. Everybody else bit them off.
Anyways.
How many fights have we been started in a Black Barbershop?
Anyway, so before we get started on the tangents...
We should really actually do a good historical rehash because I felt like it was trash.
This is the Touchdowns and Tangents show. You can catch us on Speaker, iCloud, iTunes.
You said it right.
I said iCloud. Well, I guess we technically are in the iCloud.
Somewhere. We're in the ether.
Wow. Kenneth got his phone on. Typical. I'm not even surprised.
First off. It was too... Never mind.
Anyways.
What a tender moment for me right now.
Of course. When you're popping, you're popping. When you're not, you're not.
Back to back. Three in a row?
So, Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. Before this, we were the Unnecessary Toughness podcast.
And then, wasn't it Football Friday? No, not Football Friday. No, because when you graduated, it was Fourth and Forever, and I continued it. But we started it. It started... Me, the first podcast Pete and I ever did was around, I'd say, I went to the Sundial in October. Can we say that name now?
You say it all the time.
Ah, I guess. I'm completely over that anger, but yeah. So,
Anyways, October, I have no problem with the Sundial. Love the Sundial. They're my...
I don't know about that one.
They're my past.
I can't say I love the Sundial. Whatever.
You're the one, you know, sponsoring them, but it's true. They did give us our start, so props to them.
Yeah, we kind of actually made it. It's like the equipment was there, and
anyways, that doesn't matter.
Bottom line is, started the podcast. I didn't even meet Pete first. I met our homie Andrew, and then he gave
shout out to him in New Mexico.
Shout Andrew Martinez. Shout out to him. Great editor in chief. I ended up saying, cause I won like a contest to get something free. Cause I'm like the god of free stuff when it comes to college, in case you didn't know. I am. You'll read about it one day. So I won a contest, came in there, got some stuff, talked to Andrew, and I was like, yeah, I'm from East Oakland. I'm a Raiders fan. He's like, dude, I'm a Raiders fan. And then we ended up talking about Pete. I hit Pete up on Twitter. He gave me a cryptic response.
So I know Kenneth really wants to give his like whole life story right
now. No, I'm not.
But
we only have
45 minutes.
I'm gonna fast forward. You stop talking.
So the point is,
bottom line is, he vetted me for like 20 minutes. And I was like, yeah, Boise State football, blah, 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 USC. And then he's like, oh, I have a cousin who's a defensive line coach there. Can I say his name?
You're already going to do it.
Yeah, it's true. Andy Avalos, defensive coordinator for the Boise State Broncos, is the cousin of Pete Camarillo. I was like, oh, at least you got the Boise State hookup. He's like, I'm not going to live in Boise.
I actually never said that.
I know he didn't. I just, that was total adding. But anyway.
Fake news.
It was fake news. It was fugazi. I think we tried to do a podcast that day, didn't we? Because you had done two, and really it was just you talking about the Raiders with the homie Shaka.
So let me put this, to you in just perspective. You haven't even got halfway to how we started the show.
I'm fast forwarding.
You're already 6 minutes
Stop
in.
Stop cutting me.
We're already 6 minutes
Dude, we're going to blow through these topics. I just want to get through, like, this is the 50th episode. Like, we gotta,
he's over here really, like, crying. And
I'm
it's
not
like,
crying.
Bro,
crying. Shut up.
Like, bro.
But no.
Relax.
Seriously.
It's just 50.
Chill.
We got plenty more coming.
We've actually probably done over 100 podcasts.
Easy.
Since we both started college. But, yeah, we literally just did a podcast. We talked about Todd Gurley, I remember. And you're like, wow, this guy actually knows what he's doing. And that's how it started.
Pretty much.
We've been arguing and I've been slandering him ever since. A bunch of stories that we can't talk about ever on the air at any point in time or in the state
and
of California.
A lot of radical top.
Radical?
A lot of topical.
Tangents.
Radical, topical.
Don't
tangents.
Don't hurt yourself.
For the culture.
Tinder.
And we're always live. And that's a both figuratively and literally.
Yeah, like we literally.
We literally cut this in one take in my room because we're passionate about it and that's what we like to do.
Yeah,
and it's fun. And the sports culture really needs something that doesn't take itself too serious and holds other people accountable, other so-called talking heads, other so-called bloggers, journalists, commentators,
people who rotate the same talking points.
Whatever it is, we're out there, we're on it.
Our pre-show is funnier than anything you could ever imagine. Like, I can't count how many times I've literally taken three-hour bus rides to come from the South Bay to Pete's spot out here in Northridge just to do a podcast. Or times I've left my dorm at, like, 2 in the morning. Or times when we were in the newsroom on, like, a Thanksgiving. When everybody was gone and did a podcast. He's like, you down? You're not down. I just got off work. I'm not doing anything in the dorms. I'm down. That's how, literally, like, it was spontaneous. And how this podcast started, I was going through a rough patch how things kind of ended for me at the Sundial. And I was out of school for a semester. And I was really trying to just get my life on track because I really didn't know what the hell I wanted to do.
Okay, so this whole thing is about you.
Pete came to me.
This whole thing is all about you.
No, it's not. Pete came to me. He's like, dude, Plot twist. Now it's all about Pete. You see how I did that?
Yeah.
He came to me and he's like, we should do a podcast. And I was like, damn, pretty much already did a crap ton working at the Sundial. I mean, like, we revolutionized that place, but we won't get our credit for it. But it's all good. Done being petty, I swear.
That was really petty.
I know.
It wasn't even necessary at all.
Unnecessary toughness.
Another part
plot
of this
twist,
podcast.
Another plot twist. We actually hated those names. I just put it together. I was like, we can't use fourth in anything anymore. Because it was fourth in forever. And then I left. And we like, all right, we got to start up another one. And it turned in. At first it was unnecessary toughness. It's like, we did a couple of like mixtapes that we're not proud of. That are out there.
It wasn't bad, but it was live.
It wasn't bad.
We didn't really care. We would just say whatever.
Like, those were our pilots when we really, like, found our sound and kept going. But now it's just like, all right, we pretty much know the drill. And we really don't know what the hell we'd be talking about until about usually 5 minutes before.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, like you said.
We always know.
The bus rides here, the bus rides back, the traffic, the driving, the food. Like, there's a lot.
The Chinese, my God.
There's a lot of actually production that goes into this podcast, even though we usually cut it one take, no edits.
And we take about 3 hours to do
it. In a bedroom. Pause. But it's a studio.
Where you work?
Our room is literally the studio, and we literally record on a dinner table. So this is our meal ticket, I guess you could say.
Bars? He kept realizing bars. There is depth here and substance.
And a lot of tangents. So, I guess one of the things I always wondered is what has been your favorite part of the show so far? Like, I don't know, favorite memory, a take, a game, storyline, a rant, whatever.
It's always interesting how you give me crap tangent. For touchdown or tangent. Yeah. When I came up with the name and the baseline for the segment, but you get it more right than I do, like, every time.
You mean touchdown or turnover?
Yeah, exactly. I just go on a tangent.
Yeah.
But I would say...
Bars?
Yeah. We're definitely...
All right, bars. Man. I'm done spiking everyday struggle now.
You are literally stealing... Done. You are swagger
over
jack.
Here in my damn Joe Budden hoodie. Like a,
nah, chill. Yes. Fucking... He has a hole in that hoodie, and his shirt is way longer than yours. But we gotta stop talking about it. But nah,
shout out to them.
Yeah, because they're way better than a lot of us. Whatever, anyway. Bottom line is, when we started this, I would say... You have way more aggressive takes than me, and then when we actually went to air, you'd be hella conservative, and I'm like, oh, you're making me the bad guy. You, sir... are a jerk. And then we're flipped, and then you just got to the point where, like, I can't out-argue this guy. So I'm just gonna moderate and take the easier route and just trick him into really going ham every week.
Wow, that's pretty much the show format.
Yeah. Just coming up with the show is funny, because I remember I had pretty much... Like,
well, I think
you'll say a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, that's terrible. But then I say something way worse. Like, the worst titles have come out of my mouth.
I think the biggest thing is we kind of just, like, with this show, different from the other ones, is we kind of just embraced really what we do well. And that's, you know, we talk about random stuff.
And then sports.
We go off on rants. We go off on tangents. We talk about random stuff. There's inside jokes. There's off-air stuff. There's, like...
introspective stuff.
Something definitely worth following every single week. But at the same time, if you jump in late or whenever you jump in, it's topical enough. It's insightful. It's thoughtful. It's random. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. It's like a powder
keg. Entertainment. It's an escape.
And I feel like it's the same conversations you have with your families or your friends that you wish you could record, but you never do.
And I think the other thing is we've really tried to intertwine more popular culture than necessarily unnecessary toughness or some of the other where we really just focus on X's and O's and takes.
And we give hard opinions. And now it's like, we'll save our opinions.
And now we have all that. We still have all that, but now it's really just... topical,
yeah.
Tangents, random thoughts, random bickering, banter, whatever you want to call it. That's my saying today.
Some skullduggery? Yeah. And mostly...
But you never answer, so what's your favorite moment?
Kind of all those moments. Damn, that was deep. Pause. Now, my favorite moment, we were arguing about rappers... I think early on it was like Kanye's best albums or works, and me, you just vehemently.
Which, by the way, if you scroll through our discography, you'll find a lot of our titles.
His hatred of J. Cole. There we go.
All of our titles are inspired. Well, most of our titles are inspired by music,
pop culture, a lot of hip hop,
pop culture. Sometimes even politics will sneak its way into there.
Sometimes somebody getting beat up.
Social justice, viral Instagram,
pettiness,
random stuff.
Yeah. Hood Chinese. Shout out. Taker losing at WrestleMania.
Shout out to all the different food places we eat at before and after. Y'all probably don't even really know, but...
Yeah, like, there's so many dope spots in the Valley. There really are. Just a few and far between, but man.
It's really just about breaking bread before we go and make bread.
Exactly.
Bars?
He has bars. Dude. Pete actually has bars.
It took me 50 episodes, but maybe I've been saving up these bars just for the 50th episode.
150 before, like, we were really doing, like...
This show was almost 50 bars and running, so I guess I had a little... Some remaining.
Did you just take credit for my thing? Just like MC Ren?
Yeah. Well, maybe we should have recorded the pre-show and called it 50 Bars and Running. And then went to the real show.
Nah, I feel like our... I was going to make a passion fruit joke, but never mind.
So, one of the things that was my favorite part...
But that's my favorite
or
part.
Or one of my favorite parts was the... what this podcast is like. I really like that because it's like, it's pretty much like just sum up like, what's this podcast like in a sentence? And it's usually always something random, but it's like, it makes perfect sense. Like,
it was radical too. Like, yeah. some of the stuff I said off the top of my head, that's how I know I'm probably like gifted to like be an orator or an MC. Master,
which, again, tying everything together, if you go through the titles, you'll learn a lot about what we're talking about what's going on during that week, just overall in the world.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like a chronological timeline of random topical culture and sports.
This podcast is like when you sit next to your friends in class, but the teachers don't know y'all friends, so y'all cheating off each other. And the one person on the other side of the room is hating because everybody in the club and they outside and they can't get in. And then they try to, like, call you out for cheating, but they get caught for cheating. And y'all all pass the class.
This podcast is kind of like, finding a SoundCloud rapper that actually has, like, 100,000 followers. So you know that, hey, he's not, like, a super sellout, but, like... He's not just some cult-following dude who probably lives in his basement and doesn't do anything else besides rap.
You just described Black perfectly. Shout out to him for his Grammy nomination. You just described Black perfectly.
Okay, and now you're going in back to everyday struggles. So.
Am I culture vulturing?
Yeah, you are. You're culture vulturing.
I feel dirty. I don't know.
Barry Budden, which you've also gotten called.
I got called Kenneth Budden. My homegirl called me Kenny Budden after she read like all the stuff I wrote on Medium. She was like, yeah, you're Kenny Budden.
If anything, it's worth it to go through and listen to our podcast just to listen to some of the blasphemous stuff Barry has said. There may be a few lawsuits. There may be a few lawsuits coming at him.
I don't go that far.
There might be some things we're trolling about, some quotes in there. It's definitely worth it to go back to see who Kenneth has called out. Who he slandered.
I've incorporated my mom.
Who he said low blows. Things that are way too soon.
Sucker punches.
Which I've actually done all that too, so I can't really say.
Yeah, I was like, Pete's done more that's way too soon stuff than I ever could, and it's pretty horrible.
I'm also a culture vulture.
Yeah. And you also like, you really think that Valley football players are better than
inner city
football
players. I said Southern section.
Bro, Southern section, what are we talking?
Southern section is not the Valley. Okay. Southern section will beat the Valley, too. Southern section will take...
So Southern section
is... Again, here's an example of a tangent, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's only because this is such a 50th episode. It's so meta right now, just kind of letting you behind the scenes of, like, what really goes down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as... We're both journalism majors. We both have journalism portfolios. We both... have interviewed important people, and even though we're young, we've definitely paid our dues. And so...
And had dope internships.
It's just really just been a state of kind of where the whole entire industry is. You know, if journalists have anything in common with musicians, is it's hard to make money. And the odds are against you.
Raked over the coals. You will not get paid for your intellectual... product. It'll last, but your true fan base will always stick with you.
So that's why we created the Touchdowns and Tangents brand on iTunes, SoundCloud,
Spreaker, Facebook, Twitter, Google Play,
iHeartRadio.
Yep. Trying to get it on Spotify. We're working on YouTube. We might just put up audio and like random photos. We don't know. Who knows?
Either way, especially with the state of ESPN firing 100 people.
150.
BuzzFeed
firing
100
half,
people.
Over half their staff.
After Time just got sold, so now they're going to be selling off some other magazines. And
the smaller name newspapers you were talking about that we saw on Twitter.
DNA, Info. So pretty much a lot of people have been calling it Journalism Armageddon. And it's actually pretty crazy.
The bubble bursting.
When you really think about it, I don't really think it's a bubble bursting so much as it's just a culture shift. Like, journalism created Trump, and now Trump has pretty much declared a war on it, and he's winning.
I don't say journalism created Trump.
But they gave him a way bigger spotlight.
Well, the media does that.
And it ended up being the downfall.
But look at who owns media. Like, three people own, like, 98% of all media.
Exactly.
And a lot of messages get filtered down.
But now there's just too much. And so that's why it's so important to own your content. It's so important to create your own brands. And, like, as much as it's great to be on these legacy things, it's like, you got to learn to own your own hustle. It's like,
yeah,
can't always get a record deal.
Sometimes you got to go it alone.
Shout out to Nipsey Hussle.
Yep.
Even though he signed a deal.
A partnering deal.
Yeah, so
he's not,
I'm sure
he's not some chance.
Sure, it's all money in. So
that was a Nipsey Hussle shot. You can't go back to L.A.
Why?
That was kind of a shot at Nipsey Hussle.
Why was that a shot at Nipsey? That was a shout out to All Money In. That's his label. I got nothing but respect for Nipsey. I've always liked Nipsey.
Okay, cool. Never mind.
Yeah, man, I ain't stupid.
See, there you go. I was playing the uneducated Nipsey Hussle fan, even though I'm a huge Nipsey Hussle fan. So I don't. Some of y'all don't know who Nipsey Hussle is or what Pete just said. So now you know. See, we give you cultural content, topical, tangible.
We give you things you don't always hear every day. We give you takes you've never heard before. We predict stuff. We get,
we don't get
lots of stuff wrong.
No, we get a lot of stuff right, actually.
But we do get a lot of stuff wrong, too.
Ah, shoot your shot.
And, you know, but that is what it is. So let's go ahead and jump into some actual football, since this is a football show, since we do watch football, since we've played football.
I don't even watch
since
football. We've coached like that
it. You watch college football?
Oh, I watch that shit all day at work.
Yeah.
Just not pro football anymore. Dude.
And you still watch pro football.
Sometimes.
You're lying. You watch pro football.
If there's nothing on my mom,
you watch at least like one or two games a week.
Not all the way through.
Yeah,
I watch like maybe 5 minutes of a game, and that's because it's on and I look at highlights.
You're lying.
I don't watch games all the way through.
Yeah, you watch a lot of highlights too. You actually watch a lot of highlights.
I watch more highlights. Yeah. I watch games worth of highlights from all over the place. But yeah, we've coached a lot. I've played it. Have the injuries to prove it. And the horrible pain in my knee to prove it. And ankles. Yeah, being an offensive lineman kind of sucks.
So, let's jump into it. As I said earlier, we have X's and O's. We have topical stuff going on. But we usually like to put it into a game format. It's usually called touchdowns or turnovers. And Kenneth usually loses and goes off topic and just messes the whole thing up. So,
changing format.
And seeing as it's, you know, half of 100.
I endured. I won this fight.
We're at the 50-yard line.
Fist fights at the 50.
Crabtree and Tlaib. In case you've been living under a rock.
Michael Crabtree and Keith Tlaib hate each other. The next move is that they either fight in a Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania or they kill each other. Because that's really the only way it's going to get solved.
Chris Harris Jr. and Amari Cooper are just going to stand outside.
Chris Harris
slap boxing.
Yeah. Just playfully slapping one another. It'll turn into hair getting pulled. Because those guys aren't really fighting like that. Chris Harris more just wants to intercept.
A snitch.
Yeah, he was just more to intercept Derek Carr's passes again. by cheating in the flat, but whatever, that's a coverage terminology. But anyway.
Because you don't watch games.
I know football.
I'm mad you're downplaying how much you watch games.
I don't watch whole games.
I'm mad.
I don't, bro.
I'm mad.
I watch highlights.
You watch more games than me.
I watch a replay. Dude, I only watch.
You be like, and yep.
They be talking trash.
You watch games, bro.
I mean, breakfast or like.
You be watching games.
I be at the gym and the game is on. That don't count. And that's like one game a week.
You watch, though.
Bottom line is, they're 2-game suspension for pretty much beating the hell out of each other all over the field in Oakland. Got dropped down to 1 game because A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey never got suspended at all. And they should have definitely been suspended. But those two got suspended for punching each other and damn near trying to kill each other. And
okay, Kenny. Having a rumble so, in the jungle. We all know bad. The damn story. So... Tell us,
it was just,
Kenny, is it a touchdown or is it something worth taking a tangent on? You going to give me a take or you going to give me a tangent?
I guess I'm just going to give you a take because the tangent, it's not worth the tangent. They hate each other. They will fight again. It's inevitable. And someone's going to get severely hurt because they're going to fight again. It's real. They're going to fight again. That's my take.
Honestly, I don't think they're going to fight again because they're probably not going to see each other again until next season. So, I think...
Or somebody's getting cut or retiring.
Everyone's going to get cut or something's going to happen. Okay, next topic. Let's keep it rapid fire because, you know, that's actually what it's supposed to be.
Aren't I supposed to ask since you asked?
Go ahead.
Okay. Wait, let me do the Miss Piggy. No, I can't do it right now. Hermie? Yeah, Herm Edwards is the new head coach at Arizona State. So I got one question.
I'm mad you just did that.
Since, yeah, Hermie, you got it. Ah, you're smart.
That was weak. Boo.
No, it wasn't.
Boo this man.
Boo this man. You're trash for doing that. Oh, instead of boo, you shot me. Thanks. Wow, you're real mature. Anyway.
I was going to say something messed up, but I don't think it's appropriate, considering the...
Because you're not a racist?
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Joyner Lucas.
Wow, you almost forgot who he was. You're terrible.
Because I'm a culture voter. We went over this. I heard one video today, and now I'm listening to him.
So I'm assuming you're just going to go on a tangent and then make your take or tangent. Herm Edwards turns around Arizona State.
I'm gonna give you a take, and I'm gonna take the turnover route. And here's why: Herm Edwards is a respectable football mind, but I don't necessarily think he's someone that 18 and 19 year olds want to relate to.
So that like 65 year old gospel deacon that you don't want to hear from?
Exactly. I don't think
Cal Baird.
I don't think he's going to get the 4- and 5-star guys there. I think it's going to, especially because that program is, once again, they get a lot of Southern Section kids. They get a lot of 3- and 4-star kids that get overlooked by the USC's and the UCLA, or they just don't have enough, you know, scholarships. So those they're more the blue collar guys, which I think Herm can appeal to, but I think he's also just an older cat. So I don't know.
So you don't think his brand of charisma?
I think the biggest thing that's gonna work for him.
I compare him to Harbaugh as far as charisma.
I think the biggest thing is he's just gonna have to get the kids buying into his NFL connections, because he was in the media. I'm sure he knows plenty of execs. I'm sure he knows scouts.
It'll be a tightly disciplined team, I can tell you that much.
And so it's really going to come down to Herm's way, and if you do it right way and you buy in, he's going to help you out. But if you don't like what he's saying, you're not going to like it. You see him.
There's the door.
So, which is pretty much completely opposite of the culture ASU's had.
Todd Graham, honestly, and it's a party school. in my opinion, Ty Graham got a raw deal.
Okay, so Tennessee, everyone's favorite topic. Shout out to Lane Kiffin for being a really pig savage. So, Kenny.
Petty Piper. Rowdy Petty Piper.
That's are you going to give me a take or a tangent on the Tennessee?
I'm giving a tangent because this is where pettiness is deserved. Tennessee tried to hire Greg Schiano, who was trash at Rutgers. He was decent at Rutgers. After Ray Rice, he didn't have anybody. And we know how that turned out. A bunch of those guys ended up going to New England. And, well, Rutgers has been trash for a while, including Maryland, which is actually, it's sad to me because they have better talent. But in this case, he went to Tampa Bay, was trash head coach of Tampa Bay. With shout out to Dirk Cutter, by the way. Trash as a head coach, but Lovie Smith got screwed over, and now he's stuck at fledgling Illinois. But anyway, and yes, Dirk Cutter was the head coach at Arizona State. If anybody didn't know that, I tied it all together. All right. The point simply is, damn, I kind of forgot it. Oh, wait, I'm back now. All right.
So that sounds like a good tangent.
No, the tangent, the point of the tangent is simply put,
he doesn't even know his point anymore. What like is football? Gives you CTE, and that's why we're both here.
What was the original question? Because I had the answer, and I'm like, damn, I just went down my own rabbit hole. But no, seriously, what was your question?
You were telling me about Tennessee. I asked you to give me a
take. Oh, yeah. There we go. Almost lost it. So Dave Dorn, the head coach of North Carolina State, he was the latest person to reject Tennessee. And now they're looking at, I guess, like Willie Taggart. You got Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. Trying to figure out if he's going to stay at Florida State or go to Texas A&M, who just fired Kevin Sumlin. That was my point. Kevin Sumlin could go to Tennessee. I feel like that's the best option. He's proven he can get 5-star recruits. He's proven he can transform a program. He did it at Houston. He did it at Texas A&M. That's why they're going to have a ton of talent for the next 5 or 6 years. And he could go to Tennessee with all the talent that's there. I'm pretty sure that's
a take, though, just so you know.
This is a tangent. This is a tangent because I talked about like 12 different people. I didn't get straight to the point. The point of this tangent is that they have to, Tennessee has to do something it might not want to do, and that's hire a black head coach. Bomb dropped? Yes.
Alright.
Don't hire T. Martin. I don't care if he led Tennessee to a national title after Peyton Manning left, and now he's the offensive coordinator at USC and one of the best recruiters in the nation. Hire Kevin Sumlin. Make Texas Tech mad as hell and make Tennessee Texas A&M games petty as hell because they're both in the SEC. I want to see Kevin Sumlin at Tennessee, and I just want to see it. And Greg Schiano sucks as a head coach anywhere. Stick to the defensive line at Ohio State where they get 5-star talents. You don't really coach them up that great. That's my tangent.
That was actually a take, but all right. So
we can agree to disagree.
I guess I'll ask myself about Eli Manning since, you know, you really just gave us your whole show and died.
I gave you a spirit bomb, dog. What else you want from me?
Eli Manning, the legend, the Brady killer, 2-time Super Bowl champion, younger brother of Peyton, son of Archie.
Brother of Cooper, the shooter.
Soon to be what, shooter. Long time, only time, Giants QB, was benched for Geno. Inherited the butt fumble thrown.
Geno Smith. He went to West Virginia and he put up 70 points on Clemson.
So yeah, Geno Smith is now officially the Giants starting quarterback and Davis Webb is his backup. And Eli Manning is running scout team. So,
who, by the way, Davis Webb went to Texas Tech and then transferred to Cal.
My take on this is that the Giants are really showing that they're willing to just get it over with ending the Manning era. I think they probably should have cut him and let him get a chance to go somewhere else if they're going to make him run scout team. But I guess they probably wanted to get some sort of draft pick from him, so he'll probably end up in Jacksonville or Denver or
Arizona.
Arizona.
Because Bruce Arians is a QB whisperer.
But
Carson Palmer's not a Hall of Famer.
Eli Manning's one of the most competitive players, and to see him kind of go through this, it's just like disrespectful, and it makes me feel old. So there you go. All right, last topic, because we have to talk about this topic.
I root my heart for Eli.
New
York is trash how it treats its quarterbacks, Buffalo and the Giants.
We've always talked about, I want to talk about this because throughout the show, one of the most topical things week to week has always been Kaepernick, the protests, things like that. So there's a whole nother development from the protests and the dialogue between the players and the owners. Owners basically offered up,
$89 million over 7 years. Starts at $5 million a year and then increases to...
For the athletes.
Maxes out at $12 million.
For the athletes, organizations, outreach, and...
Law enforcement programs, training, community training programs.
Basically some of the things the players asked for.
And some stuff that maybe some of these owners who might be racist potentially could just funnel money into a police force.
So...
That's what it looks like.
That's Kenny's take on it.
That's my perspective.
My take on it is it's not hush money if you make sure that it always keeps coming, I guess.
Yeah.
For me. So I feel like if they can get a yearly commitment for as long as the NFL is going, a percent or whatever, lump sum, I think that's an easy enough thing for an organization to do. I think it needs to be more than $10 million, and it needs to be longer than 8 years.
Seven
I think
years.
The NFL has a PR, you know, crisis right now. I think they do a lot of community work, so I'm sure they already do give a lot of money. But I think they can always give more, considering they're a nonprofit organization. I'm sure they could
taxed.
They could give more to their players' organizations and their players' initiatives. I don't feel like that's asking a lot. Especially considering there's a lot of people pissed off about the protests. And whether or not you agree, it's something the NFL and the players could easily figure out. And I'm not saying that the players should stop doing it, but I'm just saying the NFL needs to do their part of hearing out the players. Because that's really what it comes down to, right?
On top of that, because the 89 million, only by the way, only half of that 89 million is actually going to like a players' initiative fund, and then the owners still have to agree to the part where the players split the they split the pot to help pay for some of the stuff.
So my take is it needs to be like maybe 25, 50, 100 a season, at least. Start at 100, maybe settle at 50.
It's $100 million though.
So
they would laugh you out the room. $100 million a year?
25, 50. NFL has money.
We know that.
Especially because most of these stadiums are publicly funded. I don't feel like that's they need to be giving more money.
Owners are cheap, you know, they're not gonna plug in, and it's not like they're rebuilding the communities that
some of them do.
Some of them do.
A lot of them do. A lot of teams do a lot of community work, but that's because they have to.
Yeah.
But now they could be building you can give up more.
Daycare centers and like they could be. Yeah. They could always be doing more, but some people may feel it's bribe money. Some people are already
okay.
Mad at the coalition that helped put this together. It's a lot. It's a lot going on.
Okay, so let's close it out. Last 5 minutes of the show. This is our our dedicated segment. Shout out to Weezy. Dedication 6 coming out. Basically, it's a tribute to Unnecessary Toughness, the podcast that we once wore, that we once, you know, founded. It's basically just a 1 minute take. It's supposed to be a minute. Usually goes to about two. just whatever topical thing we want to talk about. Sometimes people just share their lives. Sometimes we just somehow get into an argument again. Whatever. You never know. This is the variable. This is the X factor. This is the game changer. This is just full on each of us as an individual opposed to a show. So, Kenny, why don't you go ahead and go first, since you usually go first anyways.
Alright, I could honestly say it's funny how this podcast has kind of helped structure my life out, because I went through a really dark, depressing time pretty much the mid-November of 2015 all the way through like 2016. Just kind of getting, to an extent, blackballed and done dirty and set up, and a lot of stuff happened at the end of that Sundial run. But it took a lot of time for me to actually set back and enjoy it, and enjoy the people that I came across, that I became friends with, that I work with. And this podcast kind of just helped kind of mature me in a weird kind of way. Because, like, I made a lot of sacrifices on plenty of days, plenty of weeks, Pete has too, where it's like, man, I'm working, like, going through stuff, just exhausted, me working day in and day out of my job, saving a bunch of money, having to pay for school, and just trudging through life and really just focused on some delayed gratification, finishing up college and everything. I can honestly say, like, this podcast has really helped me out a lot. And I've talked to other people, like my mom, people in my family I know have listened to it, and they're like, yeah, we like it. And really, I feel like just us since we started it, when we first met each other, and this isn't getting emotional, I swear.
Bro, like, you only have like 30 seconds, so I don't know. Get to your point. I thought you actually had something strong to say.
I said most of it already. Bottom line is, like,
you said you're going to go off, so I'm just waiting for the buzzer to go off, I guess.
I used all that for the Tennessee thing. Pretty much said everything I want to say, dog. I said everything I want to say. Just letting you know, like, this podcast, like, when I look back, I'm like, if I didn't do it, I don't know where I'd be with my
podcasting
life.
Podcasting is life, is basically what you're saying.
We've done, like, over 150 easy.
All right, so I'm cutting you off. Please, you went already way over the time.
I
want to shout out Darren McFadden for, you know, retiring. He was the X factor, the variable, the one hope for
the bust.
One of the darkest times in Raider history. And yeah, he was a bust. And yeah, he had injuries. But he was always a class act. And other than that, I'm proud of this show getting this far. Because even when we started out, we were like, okay, if we're going to do this and keep doing this, we got to take it serious. We got to do it every week. We got to commit. We got to have platforms, and we really did all that, and we haven't built the following yet, but it's coming, because we're like that hood spot you always drive by and you're always like, I kind of want to check it out, but you don't know if it's going to be worth the $8, so you're like, I'm gonna go to my usual spot. But then when you finally stop by, you're like, damn, why haven't I been coming here for years? Because this feels like home and it's comfortable and I love it. This is the Touchdowns and Tangents show. I'm PD Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Fanchez Berry at Ozo Grande,
at Pete Certified, at TDs_tangents, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, iHeart.
You name it.
We're there.
Should it be YouTube? We're working on it.
We're taking it right to the buzzer. So peace out. Have a good week. Stay safe.
No dope on Sundays.
And we're all not racist.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.